Title of our message tonight is The Crown of Glory. The Crown of Glory from Proverbs 16 and verse 31. If you were here this morning, I already gave you a little introduction into the message. It has a reference, old age. All right. Amen. Yeah. Appreciate it. Several folk qualified here. It also has a powerful message to young people as well. So don't tune me out if you don't consider yourself old. All right. And the Proverbs chapter number 16, find verse number 31, if you will. The Bible reads that, I turned this thing on, yes. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for the assembly of your people. Lord, this is not a social club. It's not a fellowship, Lord, of worldly causes. But Lord, it's people that have been saved, born again. And Lord, have come to worship and give honor and praise to the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Father, we come tonight, Lord, also not simply in a social gathering, not a self-improvement class. But we've come, Father, because of your promise that if we would come and gather in your name, that you would meet with us. We sing the song, Lord, because of the verse of Scripture that with God all things are possible. And Lord, we know that you have the power and the willingness to change lives. And Lord, that you have the power to redeem our lives. Father, you have power to make us like unto Christ. And so, Father, we come with expectation, we come with faith, we come with hope, desiring, God, that you would do your mighty work in us. For, Lord, we know this is your ultimate purpose. And we know the more we're like Christ, the more we have been filled with joy, peace, and contentment. Bless us now, Father, and guide us and teach us by the power of your Spirit. And, Lord, write it upon our hearts that we might desire, Lord, to do these things that we've learned. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and grace and mercy in Jesus' precious name. Amen. A crown of glory. Well, the word hoary here means the gray or white-headed. And for most of us, we were not born with gray or white hair. I have met some exceptions. I have met people that were young. And some I have seen white-headed, some kind of gray-headed. That's very unusual. For most of us, it is a sign of maturity. It is a sign that we have been here a while. Okay? And that is in reference to life, not to eternity. Our life's like a vapor. It's here a little while and gone. And time seems so short. Before you turn around, good. Just hard to imagine. If you have children, you're certainly aware of how quickly things change and how fast. I saw someone at a restaurant yesterday and asked, I said, how old is your baby? She said, 25. I thought, my goodness, last time I saw her, she's 15. Boy, things change in a hurry before you know it. And so usually that hoary head, white hair, gray hair is an indication of age. It is a signal of living here many years, not always an exact indicator of age. I have known some, but listen, that never allowed a white hair on their head. I have met some who didn't have any hair left before it turned white. My father always talked about as black as Aunt Ida's hair. She lived to be 100. Hair was always evidently jet black as black could get. But naturally speaking, we know that sooner or later, hair begins to turn gray. The little cells that produce pigment die out. And they end up, I've also found out with passing years that white hair is unruly. It's hard to manage. I went to a barber one day and I said, now if you cut it too close, the white hair stands straight up. He said, you've discovered that? And I said, yes. And he said, well, we'll work with what we got. And I said, thank you. And you have to put something on it, usually to tame it. But as you and I consider, not always a great indicator, because sometimes it happens early in life, sometimes later. I think it happened to me pretty early in life. Somebody told me, my sister-in-law told me it's because you've been a pastor all these years. It done turned white. And my father didn't have near the white hair I did when he died. He died in mid-60s, and his hair was still basically black. And so it's not always an exact indicator, but we know it is a sign of old age. And the Bible says here, it is a crown of glory for those, who are found in the way of righteousness. When you walk with the Lord, in the way of the Lord, it becomes a crown of glory. Could I say the reverse of that that's implied? For a man to live out his life for many, many, many years and have not walked in the way of the Lord, it is a crown of shame. To have lived the whole life and not known the Savior, not know the Creator, and not had faith in His Word, and not obeyed God, and not put faith in Him, and not sought the wisdom that come from Him, surely has produced more a life of shame because of the ultimate missed opportunity. There are many opportunities we miss in life, but if you miss the opportunity of eternal life, you have certainly played the fool. If you've missed out on knowing God, knowing the truth, and knowing that heaven's your home, and knowing your sins are forgiven, you've certainly walked the way of the fool. And so, for those who don't walk the way of the Lord, it's a crown of shame because of all your life. We know this, God's not willing that any should perish. And listen, we know there comes a time and a place when God will not, His Spirit will not always strive. Amen. That means God's been striving you a long time. And listen, you never yielded to the grace of God. What a shame. What a shame. And so as you and I consider the Scripture, the Bible reminds us many things that certainly become very apparent the longer you live. There are certain things that occur and certainly awaken and bring to reality when you begin to live a long time. When the Bible speaks of the brevity of life, I already quoted the verse, but the Bible tells us in James that our life is like a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanishes away. Listen, that becomes very apparent. It becomes very real to those who've been here a while. Because you look back and you listen to some old folk talking in the corner, where is it all gone? Seemed like only yesterday. And matter of fact, Cynthia was showing me a picture of her and Charles. Isn't that when y'all first got married? First courted? 2 years before. And I'm sure in their minds it seemed like just a short period of time ago. And but here it is. My goodness. Brother Charles, you don't look that way anymore. Amen. Amen. And neither do the rest of us, Brother Charles. I was talking to someone the other day. Who was I talking to? I can't remember. When we were talking about family reunions, and somebody said, yeah, I went to mine. And he said there wasn't but 18 of us, I think, in our graduating class. And so one of the fellows he was close to, real close friends with, he come over and he said, can I ask you a question? He said, yeah. He said, do I look like the rest of these people here? He said, I'm afraid so. I'm afraid so. And so it happens. And so that becomes more apparent with age. How quickly life goes by. The brevity of life. You know, when you were young, time passed so slowly. Didn't it? I mean, I heard that we had Christy's birthday party last night. And she's 5. Micah, I said, Christy, are you 10? She said, no, I'm 5. Micah come bouncing through. I want to be 12. Couldn't wait. He said, I can't wait. I want to get older. Can't wait. You know how it is. And from one Christmas to another was 10 years. I mean, it took forever, forever. When you started buying the presents yourself, we just had that thing 3 months ago. Here we are doing it again. And so, old age, listen, it brings us to a reality. an awareness, a keen sense of the brevity of life. And then the Bible exhorts us all through. From the time I was a little boy and brought Sunday school, I learned the fact that, listen, it was appointed a man once to die. After this, the judgment. But you know what? Nah. I was a kid. That's for folk with gray hair to worry about. Okay? I was just a kid. I know occasionally the preacher will remind us that the cemetery is full of kids. I thought to myself, not many. Not that many. That's something for old folk to worry about. And you know, as you and I get older, we begin to be aware of the end of our lives. And certainly, as I mentioned this morning, we're not supposed to linger our thoughts upon the uncertainties of life, but one thing does cross our mind occasionally is how many years you reckon we got left? I was talking to Rhonda. I said, look at the difference in life changes. I said, between 20 and 30, didn't notice much. 30 and 40, noticed a little. 40 and 50, noticed a little bit more. 50 and 60, there have been some major changes. 60 to 70, my goodness, don't even recognize myself from 60 to 70. And then 70 to 80. With every decade, the beginning to the end of the decade has more severe changes usually in our life. Now, y'all stay with me. I'm not trying to depress you. Okay. It is a reality, though, isn't it? And we become more aware of our own mortality. That's part of old age. It starts to have a significant meaning in your life. You start considering it. You start thinking about it. It factors in to your decision process. You realize, listen, how much time do you have? And I thought about, could you imagine if I went in at 70 to buy a house and I asked for a 30-year mortgage? You plan on paying that off? Probably not. Probably not. And so, also we find out that the Bible exhorts us about the accountability of life. That becomes, listen, a more impact upon our life the closer we are, because the Bible says not only do we have that appointment with death, but after this, the judgment. Not only am I that much closer to my own mortality, I'm that much closer to standing before my God and my Savior to give an account. And amazing that as you get older and your hair turns gray, listen, you become more near to these events and they start factoring in, or at least they should. The Bible says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life eternal. The Bible also exhorts us about the investment of our life. We realize that when we stand before the Lord, listen, what will we have? We came into this world naked, we're going to leave naked, but we do have the opportunity to invest in our eternal future. And so the Bible tells us that we are to lay up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Our investments go beyond, our death. Our investments of the heavenly and spiritual nature are things that we are planning for in our eternity. And listen, that becomes more real, more apparent as your hair turns gray. Age has a way of stripping away a lot of things about life. Our life becomes a little bit more confined and more limited. The arena of the physical material world that we have a different relationship with. We have seen the waning of our strength and our abilities, and we have also sensed, the waning of many of our desires. I used to sit next to Grandpa when he sat in his easy chair. That's what Grandpa did every day in his 80s. And I said, Grandpa, don't you like to fish? He said, of course I do, son. I said, then why don't we go fishing? He said, listen, with all the aggravation and the aches and pains, he said, it just ain't worth it. And I said, boy, I thought that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You know. But I didn't have his aches and pains. I couldn't relate to it until I did. And so your desires begin, to be limited, and the influences of a physical and material world begin to lose much of its meaning. And also, it comes the time and place where sometimes you discover that things are more trouble than they're worth. Some of you spent all your life hoping one day you'd have a lot of acreage. When gray hairs start to adorn your head, the less you want to have to take care of. You dreamed about having 50 acres that you could have farms and throw a horse out there and do all this kind of stuff. And then nowadays you think about you'd have to mow it. Huh? You'd have to mow it. And then what do? We can't wait until we get the room, stretch out, now I can breathe. And then you get older. We got too much to take care of. We got to downsize. We got to get this thing. We got to reduce this. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. And that's what old age does. Old age is a type of course, maturity. And with maturity, there is an unveiling. There is a stripping away. And you know what age does? In the context of maturing, I want you to think about an old tree. The tree starts to mature, reaches the point of ripeness of its fruit. Old age has a way of finding us out. I want you to think about that. Old age has a way of finding us out. It is a maturity in a sense of what we really are. In a younger life, listen, there was so much of the influence of a friend, so much of the influence of a recreation, of doing this and doing that, and all those desires, interactions with people, and so there was somewhat of a covering. But old age begins to strip that away. And listen, you know what happens to many? Brother Dwight said something to me a few months ago, and I heard a fellow preacher of mine make the same statement. He said, one of my final prayers that I have prayed unto God is, Lord, in my old age, please deliver me from being just a mean old man. A mean old man. You see, age, like maturity, often strips away everything else. And all of a sudden, there is somewhat of a maturing of what we are. And you know what, for most people, old age brings? Impatience. Huh? Impatience. I know I've gone from preaching to meddling, but this will help us. Insensitivity. Insensitivity. Bitter. Harsh. Cruel. Selfish. Paranoid. And I like this word, cantankerous. Come on. Y'all know old people. You know old people. And so, our scripture tells us that the hoary head, the gray, the white-headed, is a crown of glory if there is a condition. And could I say, it is an exception to the norm. If it be found in the way of righteousness, that it can be a crown of glory rather than the revelation of just being mean, impatient, insensitive, harsh, uncaring, unkind, and cantankerous. And so, as you and I consider that, it is something that needs to begin earlier in life. Notice the Bible says, if it be found in the way of righteousness. The implication of the wording is that it has been something that has been continual in this person's life. Now, let me say this. I have seen, rarely, but I have seen it, I have seen men beyond their 70s, a handful, I have seen them get saved, and I have seen God change them completely. But for the most part, we have the continuation of something that was started earlier in life. You see, that maturity only reveals what is there. In other words, what was there has reached its height. It has become ripe. It was always there, but old age has a way of ripening it. Let me put it this way. If you're a selfish person, it got worse as you got older. If you're an impatient person, it got worse when you got older. If you're cantankerous, it got worse when you got older. Okay? You might as well laugh to cry. Don't get mad at me. You know it's the truth. It's going to mature itself. And so, as I said, this is not just a message for those of us that have gray hair. It's a message for young people. There's going to be maturity of what you are, what fruits you have. And if you're selfish now, old age is going to make you hard to live with. If you have a stubborn streak, it's not going to get better apart from the good grace of God. And so, you and I, certainly, we understand that. Now, let me mention several things here about this crown of glory. The hoary head should have produced a wonderful knowledge and wisdom. I said should have. If it be found in the way of righteousness, you and I know that it is a way, and a way leads from one place to another. It is a progressive walk, that is, that we have been walking in the way for some time, and when you walk in the way, you get closer to the goal. If I am on a path, I have a starting point, I have a finish point. If I'm walking in the way of the Lord, I got started when I got saved, ultimately not just simply being in glory, being glorified, being like the person of Christ is God's great goal. And so if I have walked down the road, the maturing process ought to have developed a more likeness to Christ than when I started. Are you with me? And so even though I might be 80 and I don't feel well, my joints hurt, I ought to be more like Christ than when I started. Right? That shouldn't have taken away from me. No. I have walked further with the Lord. Listen, there ought to be several worn-out Bibles on the shelf. The hoary head ought to have, unless they were saved later in life, they ought to have some worn-out Bibles on the shelf, and ought to be filled and ready to spill over testimonies of God's goodness and mercy and grace in their life. You ought to have a story to tell. You ever been listening on a long path? Been on a path for a long time? You'd have a story to tell. I shared with you when I talked with Curtis Leonard when he went last summer on the Appalachian Trail for, I think it was 5, 6, 7 days, I forgot now. And man, you're talking about having a story to tell. Good gracious. That's a story I wouldn't want to tell. I told you he woke up in the middle of the night and something messing with his backpack and it was a bear. And he was wearing it. You thought when you woke up with a bear. He really did. Face to face. 2 foot. Had a story to tell. Listen, if we walk with the Lord, surely we got a story to tell. If we walked in the way of righteousness, we can tell. What can we tell? We can tell that God is faithful, that God has rescued me, God delivered me, God's answered my prayer. He's been with me in my times of sorrow, my grief, my pain. He's always been faithful. Listen, that crown of glory comes from walking in the way of having not only Bible knowledge, but knowledge of walking with God in the experience of our life, and we'll be ready to spill over a testimony of God's goodness. God's blessing. The book of Hebrews warns us and warns some of the people there have been saved for quite a while. Here's what it says, for when for the time you ought to be teachers. He said, you've been saved long enough walking with the Lord, you ought to be teachers. Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles, the oracle of God, become such as have need of milk, not of strong meat. Here was writing to them, it's a shame. He said, you've been saved long enough, you ought to be teaching the Bible. And we're still having to do the ABCs. You still don't have the foundation of the ABCs in your life. What that meant was, either they were both not faithful to the word preached, they're not faithful to the word read and studied in their own life. Time had certainly passed. I think about some of the aged characters of the Bible. Joshua, old man, about to go on. Here's what he said. And behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed thereof. What a testimony to leave. I listen on his deathbed, tell him, listen, God has never failed you, not one time. I think about Peter when he was close to his end. The Bible said, 2 Peter 1:15, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, certainly, that crown of glory has come from having studied the Word of God and learned the principles of Scriptures and experienced the good grace of God in our life and have a testimony of all that God has done. And listen, there are ears that need to hear the faithfulness of God in your life. And so it can be and should be a crown of glory. Secondly, the hoary head should have produced a heavenly mindedness. The hoary head should have produced a heavenly mind. This heaven should be more in view than ever before. You know why? You're a whole lot closer to it. The Bible says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. The closer we get to the examination, the more we make preparation. Right? Sure. I mean, anytime you have to go and report, whether it be to get your driver's license, pass the test, whether you go to the doctor and get a checkup, listen, you usually get serious at least 3 or 4 days before you got to show up. Some people, like my daddy, just plain old cheated. He didn't know he had to go in and get his sugar tested. He did not want a needle. Man hated a needle more than anybody I've seen except for my wife. Hated a needle, did not want to go on insulin. And so he found out that cinnamon and lemon juice lowers blood sugar, and that rascal would drink it and take it before he went to the doctor. Mom would say, you know that's false reading. I don't care. At least it's down. You and I, we realize how close we are to giving an account of ourselves. And so certainly the hoary head should have produced that heavenly mindedness in our life. Our shadows have grown long, and the probability of years have come short. Our physical eyes have become dim. But our spiritual eyes ought to see more clearer than ever. And so the desires of earthly life have diminished. The hopes and thrills of this life has lost its glitter. Our values and priorities have gone through a refining process. And the things that used to keep us up, excited about, something we were looking forward to, now, listen, barely gets a grunt out of us. My daddy would say, hey, listen, if it works out, next week we'll go to Florida fishing. I didn't sleep the last 2 days, hardly at all. You know, dad at his age, you had to wake him up. Dad, are we going? Yeah, we're going. I can tell he's thrilled. I mean, he's all right, but I mean, he wasn't jumping up and down like I am. You know, hey, you know what it's like having a 6-year-old Christmas morning and then having a 66-year-old's got to get up. Little difference, wouldn't you say? 6-year-old come flying in there, I mean, shaking all over, can't hardly stand it. And 68, y'all ain't worth my coffee. Christmas morning. You see, what a difference. The thrill's gone. You've been there. You've been through it. And listen, it begins to diminish. That ought to produce a heavenly mindedness. If we have hope in this life in Christ only, we are most miserable, the Bible says. If that's it. Hey, listen, the Bible says that you and I, we groan for the redemption of the body. You and I know that a joyful and hopeful liberty awaits us only in the new body. I mean, sooner or later you give up hope that you're going to have the strength you had when you were 18. I mean, some of you are still holding out. You know, if I get that shot, if I can get that surgery, you know, I'll be back to where I was. I doubt it. Okay? And eventually you give up. You give up. My only hope for a newfound liberty is going to be in that new home and that new body that God. And so listen, old age has a way of bringing the spiritual mind to become more heavenly minded. And the Bible said, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. A new body, a new tabernacle that God will make us. And listen, Paul's far better begins to take on a new meaning. Remember what he said, be with Christ is far better. That starts to sink in to our lives if we be found in the way of righteousness. Listen, that hoary head should also, number three, have produced a faith that is beyond suspicion. A hoary head, the crown of glory to those that are found in the way of righteousness. And listen, that hoary head should have produced a faith that is beyond suspicion. Sometime folk come, and listen, they walk into church, next thing you know, they get saved. Amen? Baptize them, excited. And you know what we say? Sure hope it took. I hope they got a double dose. Hope they got the real thing. And we watch. And there's some that came in, listen, like a ball of fire and a big bang. Only problem is now we can't find them. We can't find them. They're absolutely missing. You stood shoulder to shoulder with people that you thought, my goodness, some of the finest Christians ever known. And listen, the mystery of the kingdom of heaven right now, can't even get them to come to church, period. Can't even get them to come. But you know, the Bible shows us that one of the greatest ways we can reveal the fact that we are the real thing is by perseverance. Perseverance. When people have been through it, inside, outside, upward, forward, back and down, valley, mountains, grief, sorrows, valley of death, up, down, backward and forward, but listen, they are faithful to Christ and to His church. Listen, you know what that does? That removes all suspicion that them folks are the real thing. Listen, that faithful endurance, that's the great confirmation that indeed we have the salvation of God. It's the perseverance of the walk of faith. We count them happy which endure. The Bible says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Faith is the root word of faithfulness. Hebrews 11:21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Old boy didn't have the strength. Listen, didn't even stand up, leaning on his staff for support. There he was, faithful to his dying day, blessing them that they might walk in the ways of the God of Jacob. Joseph, listen, died there in Egypt. But before he died, he said, hey, don't you leave these bones in Egypt. You put them in the hope chest and you carry them with them to the promised land. Joseph, listen, what height, what prosperity. Listen, what a notable person he was. He indeed was the celebration of that world for cause of him. Listen, there was not millions that died because of him. He was a type of the Savior. Had lived there almost all of his life. But he said, you make sure you carry these bones to that promised land. That coffin, original meaning of a coffin, was a hope chest. I want you to put me, and bury me in the promised land. The Bible said, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the parting of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. My mama used to tell me when she was a little girl, I mentioned it to you before, she would go out, one of her favorite occupations or favorite things to do was at a certain time she would sit in the hallway outside of her great-grandpa Chess. Great-grandpa Chess was a circuit ride Methodist preacher. And we used to have pictures of him, had a long white beard and a cane. He looked like he was 100. I don't know how he was in the picture. Spent his whole life preaching the gospel. I have an article from a paper in Savannah, Georgia, and they called him the White Tornado. And said when he came to town, he tore everything up. And said his preaching partner, they called him the Cool Summer Breeze. He said, one tear everything up, one soothe everything over. And they alternated preaching, one the next night, one the next. Said they were a great combination. He said they loved each other, traveled together for most of their ministries, and said two opposites you could ever imagine in the pulpit. But he said it worked. One preached, the other preached. One preached, the other preached. And she said, I used to sit outside when I was a little girl, sit in the hallway, lean up against his bedroom door to listen to him in his time of devotion. She said, I knew one thing. She said, just beyond that door, God was in that room. She said, God was in that room. And said, there were times he'd be in there weeping, praying. There were times he'd been there shouting. And she said, but I knew that inside that room of my grandpa, God had just come down and met with him. And she said he'd sit there on the edge of that bed and hold that old crook curved cane, old white beard, and sit there and meet with God and pray when he's an old, old man. And listen, made such an impression on her. And she can tell you the story. I never forgot it when she told me. He was calling out his family in prayer. And she said, I was listening one day. Here's what he said. He said, oh, dear God. He said, call little Mary's children to preach the gospel. You know what little Mary's children did? They preached the gospel. She said, I never forgot that when he called. She said, I was just a little girl. And Grandpa Chess was calling my name out to the Lord and praying for those that did not exist yet, that God put his hand on them and called them to preach the gospel. He's an old man, solid white hair. Do you know what it was? It's a crown of glory because he walked and was found in the way of righteousness. I hope today that I inspire the young people. Old age is just going to mature what's there. You can walk with the Lord and God can grow you. God can change you. God can bring virtues where there's vices. And God, listen, can make you a vessel of honor. But there's a message to us white-haired and gray-haired folk. God help me not to wear a crown of shame, but a crown of glory. Lord, help me and deliver me. I do not want to be a mean, insensitive, uncaring, harsh, impatient, cantankerous old man. Amen. God, help me. God, help me. God, help me. But I want to wear the hoary head of a crown of glory. And when God comes, I want to find him to find me walking in the way of righteousness. Amen. Amen.